Welcome to Equippers Church Dunedin. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Bruce Monk. For more information, check out equipperschurch.com.
We had all the Equippers pastors gathered together in Budapest, and it was just a phenomenal time just to see and hear the testimonies of God's grace, God moving. Young people, students, older people, really getting engaged and really connecting with the Spirit of God. And so just sharing that, you know, just through our family of churches in Europe, there is something significant. Even within the nation of Germany, I think we're now in 9 different locations. And, you know, going back, hardly seeing any people now reaching probably close to 3,000 people in Germany alone, just through the Equippers family of churches. And that's a powerful testimony when you just see what God's done, the significant leaders God's brought into our family, and it's just so wonderful to see it. And I'm not sure whether Pastor will mention, but Pastor Danny Guglielmucci and their churches, Edge Churches, are now becoming part of the family of Equippers, and that's quite significant. And so they've got a church in 2 churches, location in Adelaide, 1 in Melbourne, and also in Bristol in the UK. And so they're joining. They just really felt they wanted to become part of a family. They prayed over a period of time, and now God's brought them together. And it's just wonderful to see just the hand of God just connecting people. Helen uses a description. It's not one that a man would use, but I like the idea of it. God's always knitting behind our back, and he's bringing things together that you and I sometimes don't really understand, but he's weaving it together. And this wonderful fabric of God's plan, God's purpose coming together. Amen. And it's just so good to see that. And so I just want you to stay seated, but I love to pray. And I just invite you to lift your hands where you are. Because we need, you know, in an environment like this, I can speak. And I know I'm anointed, but I want that anointing to touch you today. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come. We invite you. And I just ask you to come and presence yourself. I pray today will be a day where things will just lift off people's lives. I pray in the name of Jesus, it will be a day, Father, this morning and tonight, where faith will be again enlarged, where people will understand just the presence of God, that we take hold of you and your kingdom by faith. I pray to stretch our hearts in Jesus' name. Build an environment where people will have an expectation for just the miraculous power of God to come and touch them today. And so we release you. We invite you to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Helen and I have been praying actually a lot for Dunedin Church because we haven't been busy in the kingdom sense, but been busy travelling around, and we talk in our camper van as we travel and pray, praying for Dunedin coming here. And it's wonderful how God brought our hearts together. And we believe this is the season in the church where God really wants to stretch and establish and in a way enlarge your faith. And faith is an easy thing to talk about as a preacher. But I believe the next season of your journey is going to be involved in taking steps of faith. And for you, Willie, I just prayed, and I woke up yesterday morning and I got the story of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel in the Old Testament was a great man. He was like you, he was a builder. Traditionally, he built the temple. He was used by God to build the temple. The scripture you get in Zechariah, which we often quote, it's not by power or by might, it was spoken to Zerubbabel. It was spoken by Zechariah the prophet, and he was speaking to Zerubbabel because, in a way, there had been a time where not a lot was happening in what God wanted. Now, that's not completely true of what God is doing here, but I believe there's an area where God wants to ignite, reignite. And I believe it's a wee bit like Zerubbabel. It's like that scripture. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. And I want to pray today for Willie, and I just want you to join with me because, like Zerubbabel, I believe if there's a man in the Bible, you know, prophetically, that's you. You're a builder. Not with the hammer and the saw, but now building the kingdom of God, establishing. And what had happened, and this is prophetically, what had happened is people had neglected what they should have been doing. But today, I believe the Spirit of God is going to activate people to join with you in building something significant, which is what God wants for the next stage of the church here in Dunedin. Something significant. It's not going to be involved. You can't do it. Nor could Zerubbabel. But God's going to give you the ability. I believe after today, after I pray, you're going to hear people come to you and say, I want to get involved in this. In fact, I believe some initiatives are going to rise out of my prayer today where people are going to actually say, I've got this in my heart, Pastor Wool. I really believe, and you're going to witness it within your heart, and something's going to be ignited, and it's going to extend the kingdom of God in powerful ways in Dunedin, in ways that you don't even expect right now. But I want you to stand, because I want to lay hands on you, and if Helen and perhaps even Desiree, you could come and let's just lay hands. And I want you to stretch your hand out towards, because something, I believe there's something significant. And you know, often what we do in the church is we rely upon our own abilities, what we're skilled at. But the next stage is not something that you can embrace by your own ability. It's got to come from the kingdom of God. And I believe right now, Father, as we lay hands, I prophetically speak into Willie's life, into those unformed areas in Jesus' name. Areas even which we can say, areas where he feels vulnerable in, where he feels weak in, where he feels he can't do it. Father, that's the heart that you love, because you come and fill that particular part with your grace. It's that area we speak the grace of God into his life right now. And I pray that, Father, even prophetically, out of his mind, Father, things will begin to come that you are wanting to impart into his life in this season, that, Father, will absolutely even astound him at what he will do with your anointing upon his life in a new way. And I release that right now. I lay hands. I impart your grace. I impart your anointing. I speak it into your life. I pray even out of this prayer, something significant will be released today. I prophesy. I speak into Equippers Dunedin. I ask God that you would just unlock things that have even been locked. Things, even resources, money. Right now, I unlock it in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father, things are going to take place from this time. And I speak it, Willie, I speak it from this day, this moment. Things are going to open up and be released in the name of Jesus. And we speak it, we declare it, and we take hold of it now, right now in Jesus' name. And I speak into this environment, healing. I believe there's going to come a wave of healings. A wave of healings in Jesus' name. A wave of miracles. Miraculous provisions. I speak them into place right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you're the man. You're the man for the season. Amen. You are. God's anointed you. Take hold of it. Don't doubt it. Amen. I want to speak into the whole area of faith. And this is a sermon I actually ministered, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago. I could have even preached it in this church. But it's sometimes as a preacher, you get a message and you think, okay, that's for that season. But then the Holy Spirit comes along and he says, no, this is a message that I want to take hold of again for the Church of Jesus. And I really believe it's really powerful. It's important because it's all to do with your words, what you speak out of your mouth. And sometimes, you know, we give our permission to be negative. But if you give yourself permission to be negative, the consequences of your negativity will actually affect you physically. So in a way, we've got to actually deal with the power of our words. And it's hard to do. It's, the message I preach is I've actually had to really work it into my own life, because I know that the power of negativity actually can have consequences on what God wants to do in your life, through your life, and the way you live and your whole being. And so today I deliberately am actually preaching into your life, and I pray you'll take hold of it, because we've really got to watch our words. If we don't watch our words, we will start to eat the consequences of our negativity. Amen. And so this is an area where God wants to really build your faith, establish you strong. as the Bible says, a well-known scripture, but it's got to go up on the board when you're talking about faith, because it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Sometimes we think that, and we know that God is love. But to actually approach God, you've got to know how to walk in faith. And you've got to know the principles of faith. If you don't know the principles of faith, what you will do is you'll just hit a brick wall. You'll know God loves you, but you won't be able to embrace everything God has for your life. So faith is the key. And then the Bible goes on in Proverbs, which I think everybody should underline in their Bible. And it just says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life, take those two words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But often we will quote that, but we don't quote the line after it. And it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you actually connect with life, your words will produce life-giving words. But if your words are negative, you're going to eat the consequences of it. So you've got to make a decision. I'm going to adjust my language. I'm going to adjust the way I talk. Because if I don't adjust the way I talk, I will actually, in the end, begin to eat the fruit of my words. Are you listening to me? You will eat the fruit of your words. You will start to feel negative. You can start to feel depressed. It'll affect you physically. It'll affect your body. It'll affect the way you produce and you do life. So your words are incredibly powerful. And that's why the Bible says our words have got to be connected with the element of faith. Because as you connect your word with the element of faith, then God can take you into areas that God has for you. And so it's a powerful area. Amen. How many want to adjust their words today? By the end of the sermon, you will. Amen? Because I want to help you to understand the power of your words. The first area is your personal talk. Real important area. And the way I want to explain it is taken from a woman in the Bible who had an incredible struggle. And the scripture's found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. This is an area that I believe today is going to change people's lives. It's going to change people's lives. It just says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if only I touch his garment, I shall be made well. So here's a woman who had a woman's issue. Just remove the word woman and say, I've got an issue. Amen? Because this is not just about a woman's problem. This is about an issue. It's about an issue that caused her life, if you understand the law of Moses, to actually be excommunicated from society and put her into complete isolation. And if you know anything about life, it would have excluded herself from intimacy because of the problem that she faced. So it had massive, massive consequences. This problem didn't just exist for 1 month, 2 months, or 1 year. Her problem existed for 12 years. And so she was now in complete isolation, excluded. Under the law, she could not be part of society. She could not connect. That's what the law does. The law drives you away from the place God's grace brings you to. And so God's grace always brings us out of bondage. The law put her into bondage. And that's the picture you see. Here she was. She heard about Jesus after 12 years. See your life. I don't know what her life was like. I like the movie The Chosen because they had her in a desperate place living in a cave. I don't know whether it was like that for her, but that's the way they predicted it or demonstrated it. And here she was in isolation, but she heard about Jesus. And when she started to hear about Jesus, she heard of this man who showed mercy, who showed love, who was able to minister into areas that no one else was able to. So she broke out of her environment, pushed past the law, that isolated her, brought herself into the middle of an environment that she should not have been in. And basically, in her heart, she pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Easy to preach. But what I want you to see, something important happened. And it's just in one line in the scripture. And the words are, she said to herself. She changed the inner voice or the language of her heart. She said to herself, the most condemning voice is the voice inside us. That's the voice, one of the strongest languages you've got to change today is the inner voice of your heart. It's the language, it's a personal language inside you. It's the language that's been spoken inside you that no one else can hear, but only you can hear. It's the language that will condemn you. It's the language inside you that allows your life to be bound in fear. It's the language inside you that excommunicates you from society. It's the language inside you that actually pushes you away from the very destiny that God's called you to. It's the language inside you that is so difficult sometimes to change. But the Bible says if we start to live by faith, we can change the language of the inner voice of our heart, like this lady, so that we can begin to possess our destiny and what God has for our life. And I think that language got pretty loud through COVID. Got loud. People got desperate. The negative environment, what we're hearing from the media, what we're hearing from society, this voice got louder and louder and louder, and people became more depressed. They started to eat the language that was inside them. I'm here to say today, God wants you to change that language. He wants to change the language of your heart. The inner voice, the voice that condemns you, the voice that says I'm not worthy, the voice that says that God can't do that for me, the voice that says, no, I cannot rise to what God's called me to rise. If you listen to the negative voice, you'll never become the person God's called you to be. And this lady, she said, no, and I'll use the words, I've had a gutsful. I don't know whether she said it, but I just predict she had a gutsful. Amen? Yeah. How many have had a gutsful? Yeah. Not many. How many have had a gutsful? Come on. It's the inner voice. It's the inner voice. And sometimes we feed the negativity. We feed it with the wrong stuff. But God wants to change it. He wants to change that inner voice of your heart, because otherwise, if you don't, you will find it will actually start to destroy you, and you will eat you'll eat your words in a negative way. For me, I've hit the wall probably two or three times in my life. Hit the wall. Everyone know what I mean by hit the wall. I'll tell you one incident. It was 2007, and I knew I was in a bad space, but I hadn't voiced it. But I knew that something was wrong. I was actually at the time facing 9 major areas of conflict. Now, if I have a grace, I'm a conflict manager. But 9 was too many. And I remember waking up. I was actually in London, waking up in the morning, and was my normal thing after I'd had my devotion to go to my computer. I went to turn my computer on, and something inside me just froze. I didn't want to do it. Because I knew the moment I opened my computer, I would receive a whole lot of emails and negativity. And something inside me just froze, and I did not want to go there. I just didn't want to go. And I remember leaving my computer without opening it and going to Helen and saying to her in London, I think I'm in a bad space. I hit a wall. I just knew that something was wrong inside me, and it was going to do damage if I didn't actually take time to actually deal with it. We came back to New Zealand from London, and I just said, I'm going to have a complete time out where I don't get involved in anything. And so we did. And so it was I remember my watch. It was 5:20 in the morning. I woke up. This was my first morning after I decided I needed a break. And I thought, I'm going to change. In my mind, I decided I'm going to change my routine. I'm not going to get up early to pray like I always have done. I'm just going to change my routine. And the Holy Spirit clearly spoke, and he just said to me, get out of bed. And I said, no, I'm not getting out of bed. I'm having time out. God, don't you know I'm having time out? It was just, no, you've got the program. I've got my program. And he said, get out of bed. And in the end, I obeyed, and I went to the lounge like I normally would, and I just sat down, and I opened my Bible, and I just started to read. And for 1 month, every morning, I can tell you, it was so accurate. I still wake up as sort of like put into my I don't know what you call it. I wake up at 5:20. I can look at my watch quite often, 5:20. Every morning, 5:20, I get up, I go, sit down with my Bible, never preparing a sermon. I just started to read. Now, do you want what happened? The inner voice changed. God started to restore hope back in my spirit. God started to put something. I wasn't there. Just basically reading the word of God, God put hope back. God put a new voice inside me. God restored the negativity. Now, I still had to face a whole lot of areas of conflict when I came out of it. But I was now able to do it with a sense of hope in my heart. And sometimes you've just got to break out of your environment and let God begin to restore hope. Because that's the medicine. And at the end of today's message, I'm going to actually pray, because I believe God wants to restore hope into people's hearts. God wants to change the inner voice of your life. The second area we need to really deal with is problem talk. Now, one of the things I dislike as an older man about current messages in society is everybody's wanting to take pressure off people. And I want to tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's almost take the pressure off them. Don't give the, no more exams. It's like everybody's trying to bring it down. Put the goalpost, even I could kick a ball over it. You know, I could, and it would go over. Because there'd be no challenge left. But can I tell you today, it is contrary to nature. The only way you can develop muscles naturally is to put pressure on your body. If you don't put pressure on your body, you will get flabby, you will get slack, and you will become weak. The only way you can develop your spiritual well-being is for God to allow you to have pressure. Don't be a baby. Come on, I'm prophesying. Don't be a baby. You mightn't like it, but if you yield to it, God will develop strength of faith in you. Amen? It's an area, and this is where the scripture just speaks so clearly. It just talks about this pressure point as being mountains. I'll miss the Ephesian scripture, but in Mark chapter 11, it just says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And he was talking about pressure. He was talking about issues of conflict, areas which you're challenged in. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, look at that scripture. How many times was he talking about what we say? Three times. Three times he talked about what you say you'll have, what you say. Just a quick testimony, and I want to keep moving because these are important areas. Our granddaughter just went unconditional on a house just in the last couple of days. And we were in Auckland when she signed, and her fiancé signed up a contract, and it was a conditional contract on getting their finances. And it was always going to be, it involved faith. It was like, we signed the contract, but if you looked at it in the natural, there was an impossibility to it. So we prayed and we said, okay, God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to remove the mountain of impossibility, right? Remove the mountain. Now, she's only 22. Her fiance is 24, so they're young. But here they are buying their first house and in Auckland, right? Are you listening to the testimony? I wonder how many people sit back and don't fight through the impossibility. They signed the contract on Sunday. I get a phone call on Monday because I was helping her navigate it. I get a phone call on Monday. Pa, they call me Pa. That's my grandpa name. Pa, you wouldn't believe it. I've just been offered a promotion. My promotion will give me $40,000 extra a year. What pushed her over the line was the $40,000 promotion. Come on. Now, it was a problem, but she did not let the problem hold her back. She spoke to the problem and God intervened. How many want an intervention? Come on, we need faith. We need faith in the church. I can see something's happening in you. Amen. Amen. Do you want a bit of faith? Yeah, come here quick. Lift your hands right now. In Jesus' name, I pray this young lady will rise up and be so strong in faith. And nothing will stop her from embracing the miracle of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, so often, and what we're doing is please, we've got to be wise. But, listen to me. Was Peter foolish to get out of the boat and start to walk on water? Or was he wise? Wisdom is not what you think. Wisdom is not your rational mind. Wisdom is associated with your steps of faith. That's where you grow. And it takes people who understand that to get out of the boat and go where God's calling them to go. Number three. Amen. How many are going to speak to some problems? Might be your husband. I don't know. Shouldn't say that, should I? But you get the picture. The third area is your praise talk. Some people come into churches like ours and they say, oh, you do the same thing every week. You have a couple of praise songs and worship songs. It's actually a biblical liturgy. You probably don't realize that. It's not just we're doing the same old thing every week. It's actually a biblical liturgy. If you understand it, and the best scripture to explain it is Psalm 100. It just says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and we enter his courts with praise. Now, the language is pretty clever, I think. And you can go through many other scriptures in the Bible where it will explain exactly the same thing. This is the path to entering the presence of God. Now, why is it a path that enters the presence of God? Because it puts a demand on you and me. You actually have to be intentional to be thanksgiving, to be thankful. You actually have to be intentional to say, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to praise God. Whereas a lot of people just put their hands in their pocket, you're not going to move me today. Well, no one's going to move you until you move. Because it's intentional. Helen and I, we start our day in our van. This is our routine. We're normally going from one place to another. And we begin. Most days we've begun with thanksgiving. Trundling along in our van. Boom, 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 boom. Dog in the middle. Helen over there. You know, we're calling dog Biggles, even though it's called Molly, because she has a little face out. We can put glasses on and she just... We're trundling along in the van and we start, come on, let's... And we always start. God, we just lift our heart. We choose to thank you today. We choose to thank you. We choose to give you thanks for all the things that, one, we know you've done and the things we know you're doing that we don't see yet. We choose to thank you. It's our language. It's our liturgy. Amen? Do we feel like it? No. We're on holiday. But do we do it? Yes. Why? Because we know the moment we do, we enter in and the Holy Spirit enters into our environment. The moment we say, God, we praise you. We lift you up. We want to extend our heart to build up a God who's far bigger than our current world. We choose to lift you up. We choose to praise you. You are our Redeemer. You are our hope. You are the God who loves us. We extend our heart towards you. We choose. We want it to come out of our mouths. Sometimes Helen wants to lead me into singing, but I haven't got there yet. Because I'm sure the dog was going to start to go. But we would rather just stand and, oh God, come to me. Please come to me. It's not God's way. God's way, you go to where he is. You lift your heart and you go to where God is. God will always respond. He will come to those who choose to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a powerful, powerful declaration out of every one of our mouths. To thank people, not just God, but to live with a thankful heart. It will change. It will change the inner depression in your life. And there's depression in this room. I felt it in the spirit. And God wants to break those lies, the demonic forces. You can take medication for it, or else you can look at the Bible and follow God's plan for it. And you follow God's plan, and you are intentional. I lift you up. I thank you, God. I think, just start thanking. Something will change inside you. You will be like the lady that we talked about at the start. The voice of inner voice of your heart will change. And you'll say, wow, come on, God, you can meet my need. You can heal that part of my body. You can minister into my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is so important. Your language, what comes out of your mouth. How can we do it? We can do it by just simply in your car, in your vehicle, driving to work. I love walking. I go walking early in the morning. I always begin, I do, and I can say it. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you what I do. I always start, God, I just thank you today. I lift you up. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the messages you've put in my heart. I thank you. Right now, we thank God for what he's doing in this church. We thank him for what he's going to do. We thank him. Come on, lift your language, change your language, because as you change your language, it will change something inside you. The fourth area, who was playing the keyboards? You are? Anointed? Just anointed. Right now, Father, I just lay hands on this wonderful girl. I pray this season will be a season of major change. I can just sort of prophetically see change coming for you. And right now, just speak it into your life in Jesus' name. And even those areas, it's just I feel there's an area where you just felt as though you're walking, but it was as though you were having to drag. I see it like a ball. You know, it's almost like and you're having to drag something. Yeah. And it's almost like God's broken it off. It's come off. You're now free to walk. Amen. You're free to walk. Come on, walk. Yeah. Walk with the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Walk with the freedom God's placed in your heart. Yeah. Walk with the knowledge that his grace is upon you. In Jesus' name, I just speak right now. Yeah. Just the power of God's love to overflow. Overwhelm this wonderful girl in Jesus' name. Amen. You go first. The next area is you have your personal talks. You know, what's inside you? What's the language in here? It's your problem talk. Come on, don't push away problems. Learn how to break through in your problems. The third area is your praise talk. The fourth area is your people talk. It's how you talk about other people. And this is a big area in Christians' lives. And I'll tell you a scripture that God used to rebuke me in. Amen? And he did. He really rebuked. It was many, many years ago. And you know, you can get in life where you always got this attitude of comparison, or you're looking at others, or you're trying to make yourself look better than you are. Or sometimes in our world today, this is not me because I don't carry this attitude, but it's like an entitlement attitude. Oh, it's all right for them. know, they got rich parents, or they got this, or they got that. You know, so society, you know, it's almost like an entitlement attitude, and we're making judgments against people or other people. And this really affected me. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. There's many scriptures in the Bible that says, judge not, you be judged. But this one's more specific. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, you'd often hear the scripture, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But what's the context of grieving the Holy Spirit? The context is how you speak about others. If you have a language that's always judging or condemning or pulling someone down to make yourself look better, or you've got an entitlement attitude, or it can be an attitude towards the government, it can be an attitude towards the city, it can be an attitude towards the university you go to, it can be an attitude towards your parents, it can be an attitude towards your spouse. It's almost like this negative attitude, and it comes out of your mouth. And God really rebuked me. He said, Bruce, I want to change your language. I want to change what comes out of your mouth. I want your words to be edifying. See, my sermon's edifying, isn't it? Come on, my words. Why? Because I am naturally an edifier. I'm an exhorter. I'm an encourager. But God wanted to build that grace even stronger so that my words became life-giving, encouraging words. Edification doesn't mean you dismiss truth. You don't dismiss truth. Sometimes you need to say, come on, sit down. Listen to truth. That's edifying. It's not all flattery. It speaks the truth. I have another sermon which I was tempted to preach today, but I didn't, because I felt this was the right one, and God so confirmed it to me this morning. But I think sometimes a lot of Christians just need to shut up and sit down and listen. Amen? It's a good prophetic word. Just shut up. Sit down and listen. Because if you listen to what God says, God is a God of edification. God is a God who will speak truth. God's a builder. God is the one who wants to establish you. God wants to build you up. He wants to take you from your weaknesses and make you strong. He wants to encourage you to see your destiny, your home. God is a builder. He's an encourager. He's an establisher. In the Bible, it talks about the negative side of the people of God and how God had to deal with their stubbornness and their rebellion. Why? Because he always has a better plan for our life. He's got a better plan for you. And what we need is edifiers, builders, people who know the language of the kingdom, the language to edify. So just ask God, just say, God, Holy Spirit, I'm going to change the way I talk about people. I'm going to change my language. Get rid of the negativity and start speaking strong. How you talk to husband and wife. Come on, learn to bring words that edify. Sometimes you've got to be truthful, but have words that edify, words that build. And then finally, purpose talk. I love this one. I've got to come down for this one. Amen. Come up. I'm coming down. He's a good boy, this one. Father, just bless this wonderful young man. In Jesus' name, just touch his life. Fill his cup to overflow. Father, in Jesus' name, those areas where he has struggled with the inner voice of his heart, I pray, God, you would speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. Purpose talk. Purpose talk. How many want to live with the purposes of God? His destiny, his plan. Far better than yours. Amen. Far better than yours. I love it. Put up Genesis chapter 1. I like the way God works. When it talks about purpose, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form or void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Powerful. The earth was without form or void. I want you to get the picture. Because I can sometimes imagine the Holy Spirit feeling like this in church. The Holy Spirit was present. He was hovering like he is now. He's here. He's here. He's here to reach you, to break into the very depths of your heart. He's here to speak into your life destiny, to begin to bring transformation into your life in ways that you could never comprehend or understand. And I speak it into your life right now in Jesus' name. I declare God's authority, God's awareness in your spirit, even in the areas where your own mind has tried to push it away, but God is drawing you into something that you cannot push away in Jesus' name. But you think about the Holy Spirit's present over this earth that had no form or void. The Holy Spirit's Holy Spirit doesn't do this, but I just want you to imagine the Holy Spirit's sitting there. And then God said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit jumped out of his seat and said, wow, I can do something. Up to that point, he couldn't act because God hadn't spoken. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is powerful. He could not act because God hadn't spoken. I wonder whether the Holy Spirit comes to church with us on, because he does. He's here. He's sitting there. Everybody leaves and he goes, oh, they didn't ask me to do anything today. They didn't ask me to create. He goes out and, oh, man, oh, another day. Every time we take the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and we speak, God has the power to create way beyond what you could imagine or think. Why? Because God's a God of creation. God's a God of purpose. God's a God of destiny. God's a God who's got your well-being right at heart. God's a God who sees your future. He sees your future. You've underestimated what God has for you in your future. But today, in the name of Jesus, I speak into your life the power of God's future. In Jesus' name, to you, my great man of God, there's more. There's things that God's wanting to activate. There's things that God's wanting to release. And even today, I activate them in your heart. You have the power to speak things into existence that don't even exist at the moment. And if we were to take hold of that, the Holy Spirit is able to connect with it. And it's almost like he goes, wow, I'm turning up here. Because they give me creative things to do. Amen? Creative things to do. You think about it in your life. What's your inner talk like? What's your language when you're lying in bed? What's your language in your heart when you're driving your car? What's your language that no one else can hear but you know is inside you? What's your language that's probably pushing you further and further away from God's plan and God's destiny? What do you need to align by faith to what God says? It's a challenge, but I'm here to bring it to you. Today, what's your problem? Perhaps you're facing a problem right now. It might be academically. You're struggling with something. It's a good pressure. It might be financially. It might be relationally. It might be to do with something you're involved in. I don't know. But why not just for a moment say, God, I know you want to build my faith. So today I'm going to speak to that mountain and I'm going to ask for your divine intervention in the name of Jesus. I want you to turn up on my behalf. How many could do that? Every time I've gone there, God turns up miraculously. Come on, this is a season for God to break through in healings, in miracles, in provision in Jesus' name. What's your praise talk like? Are you a person that others love to be around? Because your heart rolls with thanksgiving. Your mouth loves to praise. I love some of the songs we sing where it just says, it's not difficult, is it go like that? I'm not good at repeating. Not difficult for me to want to praise you anyhow. That sounds pretty good. I'll write that song. Amen. But it's not difficult. Why? The more you do, the more the presence of God overflows your heart. What's your language towards other people? Do you live with a sort of attitude, oh, it's all right for them? You don't know what I've gone through. I've got it all made for them. I wasn't a natural pastor's candidate. Just let you know. I was not the natural pastor's candidate. But I knew it was part of my destiny. And because of that, I was able to connect with what God wanted. Let God edify your spirit. Let God build you. And then, what are you building? What are you creating? What is seeing tomorrow? Let's stand for a moment. I invite you. I can't tell you to because I don't want to tell you to because we're not into legalism, but I want to invite you to lift your hands. As you lift your hands, just imagine that your body, the posture you're bringing towards God is a posture of thanksgiving. It's a posture of praise. It's a posture right now where you just say, God, I'm so thankful to you. I lift my hands towards you. I lift my heart. Right now, just out of your heart, just from, I praise you, Jesus. Come on, just I praise you. I praise you. I lift you up. Praise you. I give you praise. I know right now, God, everything within me, it's like I'm putting on a garment. I don't feel like it, but I choose to praise you. I choose to lift you up. I choose to. I choose to. I could pray into every one of those areas, but I'm just going to pray into one. I'm going to pray into the self-talk. It's the area that I believe causes most of us to go into this horrible, deep valley of depression, hopelessness, fear, condemnation, where we don't think well of ourselves. Just somehow it just takes hold of people's lives. And for this lady, because of her physical condition, it robbed her. Robbed her. And if that's you, you say right now in Jesus' name, I want to break through. I want to change the inner voice of my heart. I believe the Holy Spirit's here to help you. And all I'm going to ask you to do, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front because I want you to connect with the Holy Spirit. I just want you to wave your hand like this. Just say, that's me. Lift it up high because you're bringing it to God, not just me. Come on, just wave it. Many people got their hands. Just wave it. Just wave your hand to say, it's me. I knew that today we were facing something that's very powerful. Now I want you to pray a prayer with me as you've lifted your hand. And I want you to pray. It's a prayer. Now, in it, I'll use the word, it's an old-fashioned word, but I'm going to use the word repent. Repent means just to simply change your mind about this so that God can bring refreshing to your heart. I just invite you, you might like just to pray my words right now with me. Lord Jesus, today I acknowledge that the inner voice of my life is not good. And today, in the name of Jesus, I repent of allowing those inner struggles to take control of me. I break its power. I declare from now on, something's going to shift, something's going to change. And you, Lord Jesus, are going to give me a new language to speak. I invite you to do so by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to come in. I renounce the power of the evil one that's had a road into my life. I renounce his power. I say, you've got no right to exist and inflict on me anymore. Imprison my spirit, my soul, with negativity. I break its power. In the name of Jesus. Now, I haven't finished. I want you now to lift both hands and I'm going to pray. And when I pray, the Spirit of God is going to change something. Are you ready? Wave your hand if you're ready. In the name of Jesus, I say, spirit of condemnation, spirit of fear, spirit of unworthiness, spirit that belittles, I break your hold. And in the name of Jesus, every hereditary iniquity, every demonic influence of depression, I break its hold. And in the name of Jesus, I speak the power of the Holy Spirit to create a new language, a new heart, in the name of Jesus, to bring a new sound inside, a sound that brings rest, a sound that brings peace, a sound that brings a sense of worthiness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you got that, something will shift in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message recorded live at Equipus Church Dunedin. We pray that it blessed you. For more information, please check out equipuschurch.com.